Chinese workers get new rights.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States? We've seen big worker strikes at Honda and Toyota factories in China this year, a sign of unrest in the workshop of the world. And now a proposed law in China's main manufacturing province would give workers there broad new rights to unionize. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has the latest.
There's at least one worker strike a day in Guangdong province. Up till now, workers were forced to bargain through an essentially powerless government-sanctioned union. William Ni, spokesman for the China Labor Bulletin, says this new law will give workers the right to represent themselves.
It has the potential to be a game changer.
The law says if a fifth of the workforce at a factory asks for collective bargaining, then management would have to sit down and listen. Ni says this is all part of a government response to this year's strikes at Honda and Toyota and to a spate of worker suicides at iPhone maker Foxconn.
They're struggling for a way to try to figure this out and find a way to have more peaceful and harmonious labor relations. These regulations are a move to address that.
And they're a signal to foreign firms that doing business in China may soon get more expensive. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Anybody who's followed the debate over Arizona's new immigration law knows how difficult it can be. Now, an American Nobel laureate, Gary Becker, is proposing a radical solution. Why not auction off the right to a green card? The BBC's Steve Evans reports.
The idea is to sell the right to immigrate to the highest bidders. Then, argues Gary Becker, those with the ability to make money and contribute to the economy will be encouraged to offer the most.
You know, the argument is often made, well, immigrants are getting a free ride, they're using all the welfare system and healthcare system, but now they would be paying maybe a significant amount.
The U.S. currently has about 1 million legal immigrants a year, but Becker says if they were paying, it might want to take more. He argues that an auction would also gain money for the American taxpayer.
If a skilled engineer graduates from the IIT in India, he could make probably $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more per year by immigrating to the United States, and similar, maybe somewhat smaller, but similar amounts by going to the UK. So he'd have an enormous incentive to come. He could repay his loan probably in 2 years.
And if they're poor, Becker suggests, they'd be able to borrow on the strength of future earnings. In London, I'm the BBC's Steve Evans for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are up at the moment, anywhere from 0.5% to 1%. Asian markets were mostly higher today. A return to profit for Toyota helped send stocks higher there. And shares overseas were also bolstered by a couple of positive reports here in the United States. Private sector hiring and service industry activity both rose more than expected in July, and subsequently stocks here at home rose. The S&P and NASDAQ tacked on more than 0.5%. The Dow, a little less than that. Just under 0.5%, adding 44 points to close at 10,680. Earlier this week, we reported on the tequila business and problems that agave farmers face because they can't control the quality of tequila sold by multinational distillers. Well, our report got a basic fact wrong. Mexico has a law setting standards for tequila, which must be made in Mexico to be called tequila.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
An old workhorse of an aircraft is marking its 75th anniversary. The DC-3 is credited with shaping today's commercial airline industry. The last one was made way back in the 1940s. But as reporter Patty Murray explains from Wisconsin Public Radio, the plane is still very much high in demand.
Thomas White shows off a DC-3 at his company in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. At 75, the plane still looks sleek and modern.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
White is president of Basler Turbo Conversions. It's billed as the only company in the world to completely remanufacture old DC-3s.
You can see they're replacing a lot of skin, they're replacing ribs.
Basler Turbo employs 65 people. They basically take a plane apart and put it back together.
Zero accumulated fatigue damage, which is That's as close to a new airplane rating as you can get.
The DC-3 debuted in 1935 and was the first commercially viable passenger airplane. Tom Techmeyer is a retired airline pilot and DC-3 aficionado.
It was really the first airplane that was able to make money outside of the constructs of the airmail system.
The plane was drafted in World War II and renamed the C-47, but at war's end, the airplane industry was moving to jets, and the last DC-3 came off the line in 1945. But even today, the plane still has its uses. At Basler Turbo Remanufacturing, each DC-3 takes 6 months and costs $7 to $8 million. A brand new plane with similar capabilities would cost nearly $30 million. And not many modern planes have similar capabilities to the DC-3. It can carry loads up to 11,000 pounds, and it can land on skis in places like the Antarctic or Canada's Northwest Territories.
Every day the DC-3 is flying with passengers, freight, and dogs.
Mikey McBrien and his family live in Yellow Dog, Northwest Territories, where they run Buffalo Airlines. It ferries passengers and brings necessities to remote villages.
It's everything from your daily newspaper to KFC sends their chicken with us.
And for Buffalo Airlines, the DC-3 has proven to be lucrative in a very modern way. It and the McBrien family star in a Canadian reality show called Ice Pilots. In Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I'm Patty Murray for Marketplace.
And finally, the next time someone tells you you're sitting on top of a gold mine, think of Ken Massey and use him as a cautionary tale. His family's home near Montreal, Quebec, is the lone holdout of hundreds of homes that have been torn down or moved to allow a mining company to come in and get the gold there. Massey wanted $1 million for his house. The mining company offered him $350,000. He refused that. Now a judge has ruled that Massey's got to leave, and the homeowner will have to take what a provincial tribunal says the house is worth. The most recent appraisal, $14,000. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.